Hi, I'm John Lohr, and welcome to Money Culture for Women. On our podcasts, we showcase professional experts who identify financial challenges women face and suggest ways to comment. Our expert guest today is Judy Tabe. Judy was a portfolio manager for EF Hutton and successor firms. She's been an institutional director of financial advisors and research analysts for the consulting group of EF Hutton and chief operating officer of consulting group. She's been an institutional advisory sales director, a management consultant for financial services firms, and currently works with business owners and executives as a coach and a management trainer affiliated with the nationally known Sandler Training. Welcome to Money Culture for Women, Judy.
Well, thank you, John. It's great to be with you.
Okay, let's talk about solutions to some financial challenges that women face. I have a question for you. What do you think motivates women's financial behavior?
Well, I actually think that women are more conservative and a little bit more risk averse by men. On balance, females are hardwired to be a little bit more conservative with asset preservation than men, because they're really doing a lot of the kind of lifting and loading still with having a family, raising children. They have to be more concerned with financial risk for their families and even the potential of loss of security if they're not prudent with their money. But having said that, it's interesting. I was just reading about a research paper by Wells Fargo Investment Management Institute, and it shows that women, despite the fact that they are more risk-averse, they achieve higher rates of return than men, particularly between 2010 and 2015, which is what the study was looking at. They have much better returns, and they feel that that outcome is because women are more focused on longer term rather than men being more focused on short term results. Women are also much more aggressive savers, so they have more money to invest, and they're more comfortable with the volatility of the marketplace, because really, I guess the rhythm of life is akin to the rhythm of the markets. You can have up times, down times, a lot of periods where it's sideways movement, and the women tend to really be more willing to ride the cost, and subsequently, that's reflected in a better portfolio return. It's kind of interesting that that risk aversion works in their favor.
That's definitely interesting. How would you advise women to get educated about investing?
Well, first of all, a lot of people are intimidated, men and women, about investing. You just have to decide to carve out the time to educate yourself. There are a lot of great free resources out there on the Money Culture Institute, that platform, John. Kudos to you that you have so many online courses and articles, incredible resources there. And there are a number of books to educate yourself about the capital markets and how to choose a professional advisor to work with you. So you can just read the Wall Street Journal, any good business newspaper daily, or you don't have the time every day, a couple of times a week. These articles are written for the average person. They're non-technical. You don't need any special degree to understand what's going in the world of business and investing. And the more likely you're reading about different companies, their success, their failures, you'll be just more familiar and comfortable with investing. So I would say, number one, educate yourself, read, get involved in a local school, university, in a basic class in understanding the stock and bond market, and don't underestimate yourself. Don't mislead yourself into thinking that investing is too complicated, because if you have a career, if you have a family, if you're looking after children, aging parents, whatever you're going on in your life, that is far more difficult than learning the basics of investing. So just start to do it. Carve out the time, and you're going to see, give yourself the credit, and you're going to be able to see how successful you'll be over a certain length of time.
Firm already patented the term, just do it. but that's basically what you're saying. I like it.
Absolutely.
What role, in terms of investing, what role does confidence play?
Well, you know, I think investing, like anything else that's related to life, kind of on the planet Earth, you build confidence the more you become familiar with a subject. I mean, would you say that kind of rings true?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if a woman's making decisions on spending her own money and budgeting, saving, she's already dealing with the financial world. So learning about investing is just an extension of that. It's actually a lot of fun, and it's very empowering because the confidence that comes from understanding capital markets, the free enterprise system, those types of ideas really flow in a very positive way into other areas of your life. And the intellectual muscle that you build in understanding investments also serves you well in other parts of your life. So I think once you start to get involved in it, you're never going to go back. It's just that compelling.
I certainly agree. Hey, Judy, how do you think women perceive their roles and their identities in finance?
Well, yeah, I speak to a lot of young women who are getting in the business or been in the business for a couple of years. I still think there's a bit of a lingering aversion on the part of many women, even younger women too, investing and getting involved in finance. Because let's face it, it has been a male-dominated business for a long time, and there may be some barriers that still exist. But having said that, the environment has changed so dramatically now from when I first entered the industry. If you're willing to work hard, you have a passion for helping people, because that's really what finance is about. It's helping people get the most of their money. We all work long and hard to accumulate some funds that we can then invest for the future. You have to be smart enough to be sure that you make that money work as hard for you as you work to acquire it to begin with. And if you want to work hard, you like being intellectually stimulated, you're going to love finance. Because currently, and these changes are not going to go away, they are looking to hire qualified women and create a diversified workplace. It could not be a better time in the history of the United States to get involved in a career in finance. And if you're interested in making money, if you hit the marks, there are incredible compensation packages that exceed most other industries. And if you're in sales, usually there's no cap on how much money you can earn. And socially, it's great, because when you go to any party, everyone wants to talk to you because they want to find out your investment ideas. So is it a very easy 9-to-5 job? No, it's not. But if you like being challenged and you have a good, strong work ethic, it's an ideal career opportunity.
Well, since we're on that topic, here I am talking to one of the most successful women in the investment business that I know. So I have to ask you, recent years, have women made strides getting in the financial business, and why or why not?
I think they have. I think they've made incredible strides. Because it's an industry that awards people, both men and women, for their accomplishments. It's very bottom line. In other industries, it's more about who you know and who's going to scratch your back and this kind of thing, and, you know, maneuvering through the social system. In finance, if you can help people and you're successful in your role in advising on investments, I don't see any limitations to what you can do. It's a competitive global marketplace. The old stereotypes of gender-specific roles is no longer viable at all. People are looking for credible bottom-line results. And you're typically you're judged or not on your own accomplishments and how well you fit into the company culture. I mean, it's just the soft skills like team building, inclusive leadership, self-accountability. All of those qualities are what companies are looking for now. And interestingly, women tend to excel in those particular areas. So from my vantage point, you couldn't have a better opportunity to get involved in the industry than now.
It sounds like good timing. Timing sometimes is everything with respect to investing.
You talked
earlier about self-educating and educate yourself, and but yet I know that you are, you know, yourself an expert in your business is, you know, an expert in certain areas. So does self-education work in finance? What other things, you know, can women do? You talked about classes at a college or something of this nature, but how else could someone who wants to learn more and find more work? And, you know, should they work with a financial advisor?
Well, you know, I'm a big believer across the board in using experts to supplement and augment what I've been able to learn on my own. And I think that's really important in the field of investing. I mean, you, first of all, you have to take an interest in educating yourself, obviously. But nobody can do sort of a brain dump into your head and make you an overnight expert. You're not typically devoting 5, 6, 7 days a week to understanding investments, which are now on a global scale and very interactive. I mean, nobody just has the time to do that. So, again, I think they're readily available resources so that you become knowledgeable. But I think it is a good idea to find a financial advisor who's going to work with you. How can you find somebody that you can trust? There are no, these firms, banks, brokerage firms, regional investment advisors are always offering free seminars on investments. Take advantage of them. Sometimes you can get a free meal, free drinks, whatever. They make it very easy for people to participate and just get a sense of who they are, because you have to have the right professional chemistry with somebody if you're going to entrust your money to them. I think it's very important if you need to speak to several different firms, several different individuals, to make sure that they understand where you are and what you're looking for. Be open in terms of asking them questions about how they work with other clients. You have to make sure that you're compatible. I would look for someone who's been in the business at least 10 plus years at a minimum, because if you're a novice, you want to work with somebody else who really knows the ropes and that they are comfortable working with a new investor. So typically, they have to find somebody who's willing to take a smaller size account and be able to invest their time and their expertise with you as their client, because they know that your portfolio is going to grow over time. They do a good job for you. You may be able to be a referral source for them, but they have to be clear on what you want to accomplish. And that's where your responsibility comes in. You have to have a game plan. You have to know where you are in 2019 and where ideally you want to be 10, 15, 20 years out. And you have to be honest with yourself about how much risk you are going to be able to comfortably live with in order to meet that goal. And they can do a lot of work and work running the numbers and helping you understand that. But it's a two-way street. The more information they know about you, about what your expectations and your desired outcomes are, the more advice they can give you on jointly developing a plan to get you to the end goal line. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Find out what licenses and industry certifications they have. And believe it or not, you should ask them how their clients have done in good and bad markets. And they may say to you, well, all my clients are very different. Well, that's fair enough. But someone who's, I'm 20 or I'm 30 or I'm 40, how did you have them positioned when we hit that global tsunami in 2008 and 2009 when all the global markets sort of collapsed? What was the worst return that your clients experienced on a great year where the market's up 20%? Typically, what kind of returns have your clients experienced? Now, not everybody is going to be receptive to those questions, but if they just won't give you any information, they won't benchmark for you kind of on the upside or the downside what the experience of a typical client like you may have gone through, then maybe that's not the right person for you to work with, because transparency, integrity is really essential when you're deciding who to choose as your partner in your investment experience. Very important. And no question is too silly. They have to be able to be there for you and have an interest in having you as one of their clients.
Great advice. I know you work with the Sandler training, and I know that Sandler is the world's largest sales and training organization, and they're part of Harvard curriculum. And how would you take, you know, this renowned system, training system, and take that methodology and apply it to training women how to invest?
Well, that's a great question. Nobody's ever asked that with me before, John, but let me see. I think Sandler has been so successful internationally across countries and cultures is because we help people establish a sales process. And in sales, most people don't have a process. If you are an owner, I mean, you have 10 people in your sales team, each of those 10 people are probably selling differently. And there's no overarching methodology to what they're doing. Even if you're a single entrepreneur and you're doing all the new business development, if you had to sit down and write what your sales process was, that might be a little embarrassing because you really don't have a sales process. You need to determine what your process is. If you're looking at a particular investment, what do you want the outcome to be? How many times will people say, I think you should buy shares in ABC? Okay, where are those shares currently trading? Oh, here at 10. Well, what's your target price, Mr. Financial Advisor? Where do you think the stock will move to over time? And many people just that they don't, well, it looks good. Well, that's not an answer, it looks good. You have to have a process. If you're going to buy something, what's the exit strategy? What's the desired outcome? In sales, sales professionals are really all about communicating and asking the right questions of the right people at the right time. Same thing in investing. If you don't understand something in any area, ask for more information, ask for better clarification. We are not mind readers. If something's not clear, do not be embarrassed to say, I'm really not following what you're talking about. And if you just can't intellectually get your head around the investment that they are recommending, move on. There are many other opportunities. John, I can't tell you how many times I've seen, even in the institutional investing marketplace, people invest money without fully understanding what the ramifications of that investment are. And I think 2008 and 2009, with the blow up in collateralized mortgage obligations, and you don't have to really understand what the nuances of that investment were. But people invested because everybody else was investing, and they really didn't understand, nor did they ask about, the underlying inherent risk. Don't just move along with the crowd. Stand your ground, make sure you understand where your money is going, and don't be afraid of looking dumb, because you need a lot of information when you're in a beginning situation. And remember that the longer your time horizon is, typically the more risk you can take on. And you're always better off having at least, a 5-year time horizon. You can, some of your money can be carved away for a shorter time horizon, but this isn't going to Las Vegas, ladies and gentlemen. You have to know what you're doing, and you have to be sure about your goals and finding a financial advisor that's going to be happy, you know, willing to work with you, and put together a game plan, and then monitor it. It's not one and done. You need quarterly meetings with these folks to make sure that you're staying abreast and understanding any change that comes up in your life. You have to communicate with them, because it may mean that they have to pivot or recalibrate your investment portfolio to be more in line with any change in circumstances. So I think that's very important. And I would be remiss if I just didn't strongly suggest, always look on the downside to make sure that you can live with a worst case scenario. Because if we ever go through a period of time, and we probably will, when the market sells off aggressively, you have to be emotionally and intellectually prepared for that to happen. Because the old adage of selling at the bottom and buying at the top is a game plan for disaster. And if you know what you can anticipate going forward, there's a much better chance that you can live through it. You may not feel comfortable during it, but at least you've been forewarned that these things have happened in the past, and that the market does come back. You have to steady yourself, and perhaps if you have some cash on the side, add to the market when it is unreasonably undervalued. So just take control of your financial world. It's exciting. It's fun. It's rewarding. You know, gals, you've got this. It's easy. Just put in the time, and you're going to love it.
I think that's great.
I got to give a plug from one book, if you don't mind, John.
Oh,
first of all, I think you have such a robust website, and there are a lot of good books that are out there. Don't get something that looks, you know, like it's 300 pages. You don't need to know all the different investment ratios and calculations. Get something that's clearly, simply written that you can get done with in a day. There's a book by a gentleman by the name of Dan Butler. He's one of the senior financial advisors at Raymond James. There are lots of good folks out there like Dan, but he's recently written a book called Financial Stability for Life, Making the Most of Your Money. Check it out on Amazon. There are a lot of other books like that as well. But there's no time. They say, well, when should I start investing? You start investing when you have the money to do so. That's my advice.
I love it. That's great. Judy, thanks so much for sharing your advice and your comments and some of your history and your looking forward with us today. We're grateful to have people like you in Money Culture for Women, and I hope that we'll add you as a guest as we get into more esoteric challenges within this within this landscape of money culture for women. So thank you very much, and
my pleasure. I think what you're doing, John, is absolutely extraordinary. It's a tremendous resource, and people need to take advantage of it. So thank you. And donations, I'm sure, are always welcome, right?
We are a charity. That's correct.
Thank you. Okay.
For that.
Thank you
so much.
Judy. You bet.
Bye.
Take good care. Bye-bye.